But first, we'll check out what's been making news this week with Tony Allen. And Tony, some interesting forecasts about the effect of rising gas prices.
Yes, well, we had the elimination of the carbon tax, which the food processing industry in general was very happy about because they believed it will lower energy prices for them. But a report by Deloitte's Access Economics, which was commissioned by six industry bodies, has predicted that whatever they might save on the carbon tax will be more than challenged by what they'll lose on rising gas prices. The report predicts gas prices could triple over the next 7 years, costing the food and beverage industry up to an extra $10 billion during that period. One of the groups that commissioned the Deloitte Access Economics report, the Australian Food and Grocery Council, is now calling for the gas market to be opened up to more suppliers in the hope there'll be more competition. And the council's chief executive, Gary Dawson, says not just consumers, but agriculture businesses too will be hit as the gas prices rise.
Areas that are significant gas users include meat processing, dairy processing, sugar refining, baked goods, bread makers, through to confectionery. So if we can't get more gas supplies on stream and we can't remove some of these distortions from the gas market, the manufacturing sector will suffer, and that flows through to the broader economy.
And predictably to what it costs at the supermarket. Some news this week also around the tragedy of the plane that was shot down over the Ukraine.
Well, it's been a very big week for international news, and that has flowed through to the rural sector, not surprisingly. One of the things that the market analysts are talking about is possible international trade restrictions on Russia over what happened with the Malaysian Airlines flight. And Russia is expected to have a wheat crop of 50 million tonnes this year, a very good crop, and it would have exported about 20 million tonnes. Now, if there are international trade restrictions put on Russia, the theory is that Russia might dump the grain.
Just interesting context, Australia's total wheat crop is about, you know, between 20, 25 million tonnes a year. So, you know, it's an interesting sort of thing to weigh it up against.
Well, Ukraine and Russia are very big competitors on the international wheat market with Australia. So the United States and European Union are considering some sanctions. Sydney University economics lecturer Mark Malatos says Russian wheat exporters could flood the market with wheat if they fear sanctions are going to be imposed to restrict their exports.
At the moment, it looks like the summer crop in Russia and Ukraine is going to be huge. So they're going to have a lot of grain sitting around, and they may need to get rid of it, especially if they're trying to beat some trade sanctions that they think might be coming. Then that could really force prices down across the board.
And it's not just grain, Tony, but we're also seeing some protest, I suppose, from this end around meat exports.
Well, there's some unilateral action from a Victorian lamb processor called Australian Lamb Group. It's got an abattoir at Colac in southwest Victoria, processes about 40,000 sheep a week. It was due to send some of those lamb and mutton orders to Russia, but they will now be redirected to other destinations. The company says this is unilateral action to send a message to Mr. Putin about what's been happening in the Ukraine. And the company hopes other businesses will also stop trading with Russia.
Very interesting move. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since the Indonesian elections were held, but we've had an official declaration of the winner this week.
Yes, Indonesia's president-elect is Joko Widodo. He won the election with a 6% margin. Now, this is very significant for Australia because Indonesia is Australia's third largest agricultural trading market. This year, for example, we're sending them $1.3 billion worth of wheat, more than 700,000 live cattle, plus a host of other exports, particularly fruit and vegetables. We're a very big table grape exporter, for example, to Indonesia. So the election campaign itself was quite nationalistic, and we believe that Mr. Widodo is going to focus quite a bit on self-sufficiency in food for Indonesia, probably more so than his predecessor Yudhoyono. And Dr. Jeffrey Nielsen, who is an Indonesian expert at the University of Sydney, says Jokowi may be forced to respond to this domestic nationalist agenda.
That may well take the form of increased protectionism for certain sectors of the economy, whether it's sugar farmers or beef producers. And therefore, we might see in fact, increased protectionism, particularly in the early parts of his presidency.
And when it comes to the most controversial, I suppose, export to Indonesia, that is live cattle, the industry here is not expecting any surprises from the new president. And Alison Penfold from the Australian Livestock Exporters Council hopes Jokowi's background in business, he's a furniture manufacturer, and also as governor of Jakarta, will actually be a benefit to the trade.
We've not had an opportunity to garner whether he has any specific views. I note there was clearly a nationalistic tone that ran through the presidential campaign on both sides, and indeed that's not something that's new to Indonesian politics. But you know, we hope that the trade will stand on its merits.
Now, an interesting study out of America this week on the environmental costs of beef.
This was researchers from New York's Bard College. They looked at animal products on their basis of their environmental performance for things like land and water use, greenhouse gas emissions and nitrogen discharge. They looked at dairy, pork, poultry, eggs and beef, and they found that by far the biggest environmental impact was beef. Professor Gidon Eschel from New York's Bard College says the glaring outcome was that beef was exceptionally more resource intensive, either per calorie or per unit of protein, compared to all that other produce.
Just to give you an example, land is the most striking example. So to produce 1,000 calories from beef, you need about 150 square meters. To produce the same amount for pork or poultry, you need about 5. So 150 versus 5 is a factor of 30 or so.
And one of the ongoing news themes, if you like, that we talk about is the issue of animal welfare.
Yes, well, you've seen the Four Corners program, you've heard the interviews, now see the documentary. It's called The Animal Condition, and documentary makers in Australia spent 3.5 years interviewing animal activists, farmers and politicians, probably about 100 people altogether, for this film. It's going to premiere at a Melbourne Film Festival next month, and it looks at the rise of animal activism in Australia and all the different attitudes and angles to it. So it promises to be very interesting. The director, Michael Dahlstrom, says there is a perception in Australian society that animal activists and farmers are at war.
The capture of undercover footage and the media broadcasting it is probably what is driving these ag gag laws, because suddenly consumers are seeing what's happening inside the farms. The farmers are scared of the activists coming in, and they would argue that what the activists are showing isn't what's really going on.
This is not an issue that's going to go away.
It isn't. Tony, thank you.
I'm going away.
Okay. Tony Allen with The Week in Rural News. Rural Reporter is next.